out. Now we're delivered. Now we're set free. Anybody here? Say, I'm with you, preacher. I feel the love, the greatest love of all. I know he loves me. Do anybody know it? I say, won't he do it? Won't he show you love when you're sick in your body? Won't he show you love when people lie on you? Won't he show you love when you're all by yourself? Late in the midnight hour, won't he show you love? I heard my grandma say it like this. He'll be your midnight rider. Late in the midnight hour, when everybody else is gone, nobody to call on, I can call on Jesus and he'll see about me. That's love. Anybody here know about that love? It's the greatest love of all. The love of God exceeds all other loves. So if you love anybody else more than you love God, he said, you're not worthy of me. Look at what he said in his word. He said, if you love mother, father, brother, sister, or anybody else more than you love me, you're not worthy of me. So I want to say, I got sisters in here. I love y'all. I got a wife and children in here. I love y'all. But God comes first. He is the apple of my eye. He is the source of my strength. He's my bridge over troubled water. He's my honey in the rock. He's my water in dry places. Do I have anybody that say, I'm with you, preacher? He's all of that to me. Say yes. Say yeah. Do you know he's all right? Do you know he's all right? Say yes. Say yeah.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana, Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
Oh, he's a wonder in my
soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Hallelujah. Isaiah said his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Bless the Lord for his holy name. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for this first Lord's Supper experience today. Glory to God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful opportunity now to hear your word move and minister by your Spirit as only you can. Touch the hearts of your people. Allow this word to minister to us underneath the skin. And do, dear God, what you designed it to do. We thank you in advance, and we ask that you would give to us a greater understanding, not only to know your will, but to do it. In Jesus' name we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Amen. I am compelled, drawn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. Verses 1 through 5 is the context that we want to look at, and in your time of devotion, of study, you do well to read these verses. But verse 2 is our special verse that the Spirit of the Living God has called my attention to say something about. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of His word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, "My mind is made up." My mind is made up. I think it's important, my brothers and sisters, to understand Paul's disposition at this point, how he is certainly trying to get the Corinthians to understand his platform, to understand his stance, to understand something far greater than human personality, and to understand something that is greater than the temporal joys and knowledge that they presently enjoy. He's sharing with the Corinthians, who have a vast knowledge of worldly things, but they're quite limited in the knowledge of God. And Paul wants to make clear that his message is short and his mission is clear, that it's Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He's not there to demonstrate his wit against those of his day who were the great philosophers, Aristotle and Socrates. He's not there to compliment their wonderful commerce and their wonderful statuary. He's not there to lift up their fabulous lifestyle and Epicurean ways. He's not there to entrench himself in the wisdom of men and or to establish himself in all of these manners that signify and denote that he is someone special. He's making clear it really isn't about him. And it's really not about them. It's about Jesus Christ. And so one of the things that he was careful not to do is you'll look in these verses, the context, verse 1 and 3 and 4 and 5, etc. You'll note that one of the things he does not follow is the Aristotelian rhetoric that says when a man who is of substance comes into a city, he announces his credentials and he displays his wisdom and he puts on as if it were a theatrical performance and bring into his presentations the arousal of men's emotions and feelings and draw attention to his ability to stir folk up, which makes folks say he is greater than the wisdom he possessed. He wasn't interested in all of that. He had his mind made up before he ever got to Corinth. Listen at this, because I want you to see in these 15 words in this one verse, if we just look at it, let's read it grammatically if you don't mind. For I determined not to know anything, comma, among you, comma, save Jesus Christ, comma, and him crucified, period. For I determined not to know anything among you, comma. Now, it's important to recognize this because, let's go back, because what it's going to share with us is his preference, listen, of focus. Preference of focus. But what are you talking about? First of all, he starts off saying, for I determined. King James Version renders it determined. The ESV, English Standard Version, renders it decided. For I decided. The New International Version renders it resolved. For I resolved. But the word determined, one of the definitions for determined is the word prefer. For he says, for I prefer not to know anything, listen, not about you, but among you. And so one of the things that they were stealthy about was lifting up their pride through the things they had accomplished and the things that they lifted up as important to them. And Paul was making clear, I'm not interested in all of this temporary stuff that you glory in. I will not be pulled into your concerns. I will not be pulled into your desires. I will not be pulled into your fashions and your customs and your issues and your schisms and your schemes. I will not be pulled into all of these things. For I made up my mind before I came. It's not about all of that. And preachers and teachers and Christians got to come to the point where they learn how to make up their mind that they're not going to be all across the board. You got to stand for something or fall for, yeah, anything. Paul made it clear, I'm standing for a purpose. And I won't let anybody turn me around. I won't let anybody back me down. I won't let anybody change my mind. My mind is made up. So that's the preference of focus. But I want you to see the person of focus. Jesus Christ. Listen to what he's saying here. I determined not to know anything among you save except Jesus Christ. My whole message is about Jesus. My whole mission is about Jesus. My methods I use are concerning Jesus. Everything about me is about Jesus. His mind was so made up about Jesus that there was very little room concerning anything else until they came into the knowledge of this Jesus he was talking about. He wanted to simplify the reality that this life is not worth living without Jesus. Save Jesus Christ. And I want you to know, my brothers and sisters, it's all about Jesus because it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he has done. It's all about what he is doing. It's all about what he shall do. All the Old Testament leads up to it. All the New Testament leads from him. It's all about Jesus. It is the centrality of the gospel. Jesus. And too many Christians do not focus on Jesus. We have religion, but we don't have righteousness. We have membership, but we don't have relationship. We're caught up in this and that, and we stand up for this and that, but the reality is not many of us are steadfast focused on Jesus, and we wonder why we cannot experience the power of Jesus. It's because we are not seeking the presence of Jesus, and if we don't have the presence of Jesus, the Holy Ghost ain't gonna do nothing. When you lift Jesus up, when you magnify Jesus, when you make it all about Jesus, the Holy Ghost comes on in and say, this is the kind of party I want to be a part of, because Jesus sent me to be a comforter of those who love him and make it about him. He's the person of focus. And the believers have got to learn how to make Jesus the center of their joy, the center of their conversation, the center of their lives, the center of their love. They've got to make Jesus the purpose for which they live. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Now let me move on to the last few words. He says, and him crucified, and him crucified, 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 him, the Holy One of God, crucified, him, the pure and only begotten of the Father, crucified, and him, the precious Lamb of God, crucified, and him, the one the Father set down to save mankind, crucified, and him, whose blood was only pure enough to pay the penalty of mankind, and whosoever would seek him, and him who God so loved that he gave, that all who would get to know him would have eternal life, and him crucified. Well, listen at this. This word crucified actually is no special word. It is a word that simply means one who has nails driven in his hand and feet for payment of crimes committed. There's no glory in crucifixion. Let's be clear about this. When we understand that, it comes from the Greek word staro, staro. And listen, it just simply means a criminal being nailed to a cross. Now, I want to make it clear to us, because Jesus wasn't the only one hung on Calvary. Did you hear what I just said? There were two other male factors on either side of it. And what were they being? Crucified. But unlike Jesus, they were not holy. They were being crucified, but unlike Jesus, they were not pure. But unlike Jesus, they were not sent by the Father. But unlike Jesus, they were not the ones who died for others rather than the sins he committed himself. But there were others being crucified at the same time, but they were not like Jesus. Listen at this, because when you recognize Jesus was the only one who had a choice to come down. Jesus was the only one who was placed on the cross without having been condemned of anything worthy of death. Had he been arrested in our day and time, he would have gotten off on a technicality, because nobody read him his Miranda rights. Nobody said to him, Jesus, you have a right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. Listen, you have a right to an attorney present. If you do not have one, you will be appointed one by the courts. Nobody said that to Jesus. And he was innocent. He was brought through six trials unlawfully. When you begin to recognize everything that they did to Jesus was not only unlawful but ungodly, when Pilate searched him in and out, up and down, he said, I find no fault in him at all. But yet he hung on the cross. And what Paul uses here is the ability. Listen, crucifixion was offensive, especially to the Jews. It was the worst way one could die. And they took the Holy Son of God and nailed him to a cross. And yet he was without sin. He was without fault. And yet they put him on that cross and nailed nails in his hands and nails in his feet. And they made him as a villainous criminal. And he had done nothing wrong. And him crucified? See, every time the Jews hear about this crucifixion, it does something to them. Because they crucified the Messiah. You know, when folk don't want to believe you are who you are, God says you are, they try and change things about you. But here's what they don't understand. They can't change what God has charged. And that's why every time they heard about him being crucified, it was thrown back in their face that he suffered on a cross because his own people found him worthy. Yes, these others hung on the cross and they were crucified, but they were crucified because they were guilty. But Jesus was not guilty of anything but loving mankind and laying down his life for them. And when you begin to recognize this, Paul makes clear that he's made up his mind to to lift Jesus up, to put Jesus first, to make him the center of his message. Not all of the stuff that folk go on with and deal with in church, and not all of these small things and trivial things and traditions of men. He wanted to lift Jesus high, who said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw men unto me." My brothers and sisters, what a blessing it is. A simple message. Jesus Christ and him crucified. No excellency of speech, Paul says. No demonstration of the profundity of his wisdom. Not showing his oratory abilities or anything, just simply saying Jesus Christ and him crucified. What's the power in that? Here is the power, that when you tell it like it is, the Holy Ghost takes the truth and he convicts men's hearts. See, our problem is we don't know how to tell the truth. We've got to be politically correct. We can't convict folk with our words. You can only be convicted by the words of God. And what we don't understand is because we change the words of God to make them more palatable, digestible, to make them easier on the ear, to make them easier to accept, we lose the effectiveness of the simple message. It's Jesus Christ and his finished works at Calvary. He who was innocent died for the guilty, and it's because of that we have an opportunity who accept him to be saved. Not because we are all of that in ourselves. What a difference it would be if we believed that. What a difference it would be if everybody in this building this morning went out tomorrow, next week, and made Jesus the object of their conversation. If they witnessed, what great power is in the believer's mouth. If we all came back together on Wednesday and was in prayer service. Y'all getting mighty quiet on me here. What great difference it would be if we came back and wanted to learn more of the word of God, to know what it is God wants us to know, so the greater we are able to lift up Jesus. What an impact we make on our world everywhere we are if we know how to present Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, when we put everything else but him in the forefront of our minds, when we put everything else above him, so much so that he is not lifted up, then he cannot draw. You want to get folks saved? Lift Jesus up. Let folk know what he's done for you. How he set you free. How he delivered you. How he healed you. How he blessed you. How he changed you. How he developed you. How he turned you around. Open your mouth and make it about Jesus. But some of us get so holy in the now, we don't want folk to know where we've come from. But listen, my brothers and sisters, they won't be able to appreciate where you are if you can't tell somebody, "I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. I haven't always been here. I've not always been what I should be. I've not always done what I ought to do. I've not always been everything God has called me to be." But Jesus Can I get an amen for Jesus? Jesus, he is.